Time for your journey to better health. Dr. Brad Shapiro in with us from Ultimate Health Chiropractic with a special guest. Brad, good morning.
Good morning, sir. Well, before we get started, I'll give the standard disclaimer, then sponsors, and then we'll get rocking and rolling. But standard disclaimer, please understand that we're not trying to treat you over the airways. So if you do have a healthcare concern or if we talk about anything that sparks your interest, please seek out the healthcare provider of your choice. Whether it's chiropractor like myself, physical therapist, medical doctor, massage therapist, dentist, whatever the case may be, please seek out the healthcare provider of your choice. Then I want to mention our sponsors. First, we have Unstoppable Church, headed up by Pastor Brad Brinkley and staff. A great group of people that do kind of a rock and roll worship service. And then they're associated with a large group called Life Church out of Oklahoma. You can reach them at 931-649-2909. Again, that's area code 931-649-2909. And they are doing Sunday morning services. Second sponsor is Abundant Life Assembly of God Church, headed up by Pastor Josh Conrad and his wife Lindsay, which he happens to be our guest. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
I tried to get my wife to come this morning, but the kids are on spring break.
Woo-hoo!
And I celebrate it because I'm like, man, we drive our kids to Huntland. It's
yeah.
a great school.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't have to get up. She didn't have to get up. She's not getting up. She's like,
she's like, go away, Badger.
Yeah. Yeah, doing good, though, man. Excited. This is Holy Week.
Yes.
So this is incredible.
So what is, if you don't mind, we did Palm Sunday yesterday.
We did Palm Sunday. We had our palms out. We were waving them. We are that church.
Oh, man.
We were
out there doing the worm.
Yeah,
exactly.
Doing the worm.
No, it was great, though. Yeah. It really was awesome. But what's, kind of describe, a lot of people have never even heard of Palm Sunday and then Holy Week and then leading into Easter.
Oh, my goodness.
If you can give people kind of just a quick synopsis,
okay.
I guess, of what that
there's so much to it.
All ties together.
I brought this little book with me. So our children's church, they always do a little exercise. Or I don't know if you want to call it exercise, spiritual learning, and they have this little book that they made yesterday. It says, He is risen on it, but it walks you through what Holy Week is. And so I'll just really quick just kind of read some of these.
Yeah.
So Palm Sunday was yesterday, and Palm Sunday really is, it's the triumphal entry. You know, it's when Jesus got on that little baby colt, and not colt like C-U-L-T, but...
C-O-L-T,
and he rode into Jerusalem, and the people were yelling, Hosanna. There was a recognition that Jesus was the Savior mm-hmm. of the world. He was the Messiah.
So that means victory, right?
It means victory. When you're waving the... It means he saves, but...
Yeah.
When they waved the palm branches, it just was victory.
Okay.
They did it back in the day, like kings would... When they would come back from war, they would wave palm branches, and so... It's really this recognition that Christ is the Savior of the world.
Yeah.
Of course, they kind of had it a little bit confused. They thought he was going to do like this military takeover, reassume the throne of David, and then they were going to kick out the Romans, defeat them, and it was going to kind of be this military overtake and defeat mm-hmm. of the Romans. But what Jesus came to do was to reconcile us back to the Father, right? So he would be... giving up his life. Okay, probably way more information than you want on that.
No, that's good. Good. I think that helps people understand.
So Monday, we're going to see today, if we looked at Matthew 21:12-17, Jesus is going to cleanse the temple. We all love that he's going to go in there with the whip and just start cracking the whip on people.
Sometimes you got to crack the whip, right?
Oh, man, yes. When people are out of order, you got to crack the whip. Tuesday, he's just going to be teaching in the temple, so... All right, let me try to get through these real quick. Arlo put this together. Wednesday, Judas will betray Jesus.
Mm.
Thursday will be the Last Supper. And then Friday, Christ will go to the cross and he'll die. And then Saturday, he'll be in the tomb.
Mm.
And then, of course, next Sunday, he is risen. Jesus will rise from,
that's awesome.
From the grave. So that's Holy Week.
Yes.
And I encourage... everybody, I kind of ruffle some feathers sometimes when I talk about this, but we know a lot of times Holy Week becomes all about the Easter Bunny.
Yes.
Right? All about the Easter Bunny, all about...
the candy and the eggs.
Candy and the eggs. And I am not adamantly opposed to celebrating those things with your family. I've got the pictures of my kids on the Easter Bunny's lap. But where I am adamantly opposed is when your children, when the focus and the affection is given to the Easter Bunny, and then they're like, well, who is Jesus? You know, we should make much to do about Jesus and little to do about the Easter Bunny.
Yeah, I didn't know, I didn't understand the significance of Easter as a kid. I really didn't. I thought it was more about the Easter Bunny. And
exactly.
I mean, I kind of did, but not really.
Right.
Definitely not from an emphasis standpoint. And I think that's what you're saying is, hey, if you want to do an Easter egg hunt or whatever, that's fine.
Right.
You know, have fun, but also don't forget the main thing behind this and what just Jesus did on the cross.
Right.
You know, just the significance of what this week means and all these different components of it mean.
Absolutely. I think I said yesterday in my sermon that Easter Bunny did not stretch himself out upon a cross and die for your sins.
Yes.
He was not crucified for you.
Yes.
Jesus Christ was. And so, yeah, same thing. Growing up, you know, my family, we did not attend. We were the Creasters, the Christmas and the Easter.
We were too.
And I can recall just even sitting in service one time and it was a smaller, you know, church. It was my dad was in the military, so smaller church, but there was stained glass. And I remember, like, looking out of the stained glass thinking I saw the Easter Bunny. I mean, I was, like, so – I saw the shadow of the Easter Bunny in the stained glass.
Yeah.
That's where my focus was, you know. And so as parents, look, and some of my congregation would completely disagree with me. They'd be like, don't you celebrate Easter at all. You're coming into agreement with a pagan god. And, I mean – if it takes away from your affection for Christ, just don't. You know, don't do it.
Yeah.
By all means, please, like, walk through Holy Week this week with your family. We're going to take communion every day.
Yeah.
We're going to read those stories in the Bible with our children.
Yeah.
And then we left Sunday. It was kind of gloomy, right? You know.
Well, just like, I think everybody was kind of understand the significance of what we were leading into.
Right, and that's what I want. That's the point I really wanted to make, you know, is, you know, Jesus spilled his blood upon the cross for us. It's a very serious thing. And so I wanted us to walk away from there kind of, you know, sober-minded and just, but like Sunday we're going to celebrate, you know, because he is risen.
Yes, amen.
So, anyway, I'm going to get off my soapbox there about the Easter Bunny. And
no, that's good. So we got Holy Week, and then tell people about the Seder meal that Abundant Life does. I had never even heard of this before I started going to church at Abundant Life.
I am not an expert on the Seder meal. We would need to have Elizabeth Padgett here to break all that down for you. But it really is like it's just kind of the Last Supper. There's the elements of the Seder meal, the things that you eat. They just represent different things.
I mean, all the symbolism.
There's salt water that you'll dip some kale in, I think. You know, and it's like, it's the, you taste it, and it's supposed to represent bitter tears, you know, from when they came out of Egypt. But it's beautiful.
It's a neat experience.
Absolutely.
I always learn so much every time I do it.
Because
it really walks through all the scriptures that, you know, with the Passover.
Yes.
Most people have probably read about that before, where the angel of death is coming, and the Israelites are told to put blood over their doorposts.
Yeah.
Just to kind of see how this stuff ties together
and
the symbolism behind the different things that you eat. It's a really neat experience.
It is, and you take communion about 15 times.
Exactly.
It is great. If you've never been part of the Seder meal, it's pretty. It is really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Christianity, we have been grafted in. So, I mean, it is very much a Jewish, it's not Judaism, but it comes from the Jewish people. Yeah, I want to read real quick for you, if that's okay.
Sure.
In Exodus 12, talking about the Passover, and so this is like the last plague was the death angel, you know, coming. And this is what it says in Exodus 12:21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, go and take for yourselves lambs according to your families and slay the Passover lamb. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood which is in the basin and apply some of the blood that is in the basin to the lintel and the two doorposts. And none of you shall go outside the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you.
Mm-hmm.
So they would take 4 days prior to the lamb being sacrificed, they would take a lamb.
Mm-hmm.
It had to be unblemished, had to be perfect, without spot, without wrinkle. And they would just take this lamb and they would have it, you know, they would select it, and they'd have it in their homes.
Mm-hmm.
And then 4 days prior to the Passover, they would kill the lamb. You know,
yeah.
They'd slit its throat. Blood would be poured into a basin, and then they would take a hyssop branch, and they would have to dip it into the basin, and apply it. The very first Passover, they would apply it to the doorpost of their home. And when this death angel came, he would see the blood, and he would bypass the home, and everybody inside would pass over.
Yes.
Yeah. Everybody inside that house would be saved.
Yeah.
Now, it would go on to say, don't step out of the house, because if you go outside of the house, if you are not under the covering of the blood, you're going to die.
Yeah.
So, important for me when I look at that, what I see is that they had to take the hyssop branch, and they had to dip it in the blood, and they had to apply the blood of the lamb over the doorpost. And I think it's still the same way today. We have to make a choice. We have to choose Christ. We have to take that hyssop branch, dip it in the blood, and apply it over the doorpost of our home.
Yeah, and I think that's an important distinction. I think it's so critical to make sure people understand that Jesus is welcoming everybody.
Yes.
You know, everybody is welcome.
Right.
But you do have to make a choice.
Oh, gosh.
We've all been given free will.
Right.
And so you have to make that choice to, recognize that you're a sinner, that you're a savior, and you need the blood.
And you need
we
the
all
blood.
Need the blood.
And you need the blood.
The blood of Christ.
And I truly believe in the Lord that there are times in our life where the Lord really draws near when you're unsaved.
Yeah.
And he brings that recognition. He draws near. There's grace there. There's faith there to believe in him. But you have to make that personal free will choice to accept Christ as your Savior.
Yes.
If you don't.
Yeah. And that's a beautiful thing. I mean, you can't be in love with somebody when it's forced. You know, that's part of why the Lord gives us this free will.
What do we call forced intimacy? True. Right. Yeah.
Forced intimacy is right.
Right.
You know, it's a terrible thing.
And that's
not what the Lord wants to do. He wants us to come in on our own free will.
Yeah.
Under his covering, you know, through the blood, in just a beautiful, intimate way.
Oh, man.
And we're all given that opportunity, but we have to make that choice. People don't like hearing that side of things, that, we do have a part to play in it, and we do have to make that choice, and it's not just going to happen automatically. And there is, something called eternity to think about.
I
want to be alive and living with the Lord and with my fellow believers for all of eternity. I don't want the other option.
And I think the Lord wants the same,
mm-hmm.
I think the Lord wants the same. If you take it all the way back to the Garden of Eden, I think his heart was crushed when Adam and Eve rebelled, and he had to, put them outside of the garden.
Yeah.
Because he is a God that wants to be close. He wants fellowship with you.
Yeah.
And so from that moment on, he was looking for a way to be with his people. We see it in the Holy of Holies with the Ark of the Covenant. You know, he would come and draw near to his people. And then we see it ultimately here with Jesus Christ. You know, he came and tabernacled with us.
Yeah.
He came as a man, but yet fully God,
mm-hmm.
to die upon a cross, and not just stay there, but raised from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
He rose from the dead in order to reconcile us to the Father, that we would have relationship with him, we would have eternal life, and we would have the life that God meant for us to have. I can't imagine. I know the way that I was living prior to Christ.
Yeah.
And it wasn't easy even after I got saved. There was challenges.
Sure, absolutely.
But my God, I feel like I'm living. I feel like I'm alive. You know?
Yeah.
I'm not walking around a zombie. You know, like, I am not tethered to this world. I'm in it, but I'm not of it.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm fulfilling my purpose. And at the end of my life, whenever, it could be today.
Mm-hmm.
It could be today. I can look my Savior in the eyes when I get to heaven and say, man, I gave my all. I gave it all. I ran the race.
Yeah.
And so many people are missing out.
They are. I don't know how you, get through the world today without Jesus.
I know.
And I don't mean that to sound like hyper religious.
Right.
But I just don't know how you do it without Jesus.
Right.
No matter what's going on, no matter, the highs and lows of your life, the challenges. To know that you have Jesus is just such a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
But you have to make that choice, like what you're saying.
Yeah, and I think there's a song, Can't Nobody Do Me Like Jesus.
Yeah.
Can't nobody do me like Jesus.
Yeah.
But it's true.
It
like,
is.
We can comfort each other. I mean, there's that human aspect of comforting one another.
Yeah.
I mean, we can even encourage ourselves, but man, when the Holy Spirit is our comforter.
Yes.
When God Himself comforts you.
Yes.
When God Himself gives you direction. It's a game changer.
It is.
It's a complete game changer.
Yep.
When He's the one directing the course of your life. You know, when you're having dialogue with the Lord, and I mean, He does still speak today,
yes,
primarily through the Word.
Yeah.
But He does still speak today. When you hear God's voice, it's exciting.
It is exciting.
Who wouldn't want that?
And I love how you're touching on the Holy Spirit. You know, that's such a critical component of this and just such an amazing gift and the best friend we could ever have and leads us into all truth and highlights certain scriptures in just the right way and just the right timing. And
I mean, I can't wait to go pray after this. I'm ready.
Yeah.
I want to be – it's a beautiful thing.
It is.
So as we go through Holy Week, what I would encourage people to do is number one, if you've never accepted Christ as the Lord of your life, you know, and right now you're feeling conviction. You know, right now you can't be saved without hearing God's voice.
Yes.
I mean, right now if you're feeling that conviction, if you're feeling that overwhelming sense of His presence, the Bible, it's not hard. You just call upon the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
He's made it very easy.
Yes.
He did all the hard work. He died upon the cross.
Yes.
Call upon the name of the Lord. Acknowledge that He is God. Acknowledge that, you know, He will let you know you're a sinner. I mean, you'll understand that there's nothing you can do to earn His favor. It's a free gift through Christ. Just call upon Him even in this moment.
Yes.
And if you are a Christian, what an opportunity to walk through Holy Week with your family. Take communion every night. Remember what He did for you. Walk through those events I just talked about. And really... come alive for Christ once again. You know, if you're a Christian that's kind of drifted and far from the Lord, let Him reignite that flame of first love in your heart by reading the Scriptures, what He went through this week. And then if you've been out of church for a long time, find a good church. You can come to Abundant Life Assembly of God, but you don't have to.
Yeah.
I believe we're good ground, good soil.
Yes.
But there are other great churches around.
Sure.
Find one that's not heretical and preaching error. Find one that lines up with the Bible and is adamant about preaching truth. And go and celebrate the resurrection of Christ on Sunday somewhere.
Yes.
And then go back to next Sunday. And then go back to next Sunday.
And I think find one where you really feel like you can be discipled.
All right.
You know, that's,
come on, man.
You know, that's...
Yes.
It is such a critical part of my walk, and I know yours as well, and many others. But the Great Commission is to go out into the world and make disciples.
Come on, man.
It's not, go out in the world and get everybody saved, even though that's an important thing, obviously.
Yeah.
But the Great Commission is go out in the world and make disciples.
What would you say that means? Disciple.
Well, the word disciple means disciplined one.
Oh, wow.
So,
come on, man.
So there's a part, where... your discipline grows and grows and grows,
right,
and you need people to help you with that. You need the Holy Spirit to help you with that.
Right.
But that's a much different type of process than just sitting in a pew for 30 years and not really growing.
Right.
So I think you need people to come alongside of you. I think you need to be under the covering of a good pastor.
Yeah.
I'm very thankful that me and my family were under your all's covering.
Yeah.
And so it's just, but that's, I think that's a critical thing because it's going to get stale if you're just showing up and hanging out, and it might get uncomfortable sometimes.
Right.
You know,
it is going to, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
Yeah,
so,
you got to want to run.
Yeah, you might want to run.
I don't feel like this place anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And this is stuff I'm still growing in. You know, I don't have perfect discipline.
Forever growing.
So it's just.
That's great.
But I think that's something to think about as you pick a church. It's just.
Yeah.
You know, if you're listening, try to find a place that's the right fit for you and your family, but also find a place where you really feel like you can grow and be discipled.
Yeah, that's good. Discipleship is. I mean,
it's huge.
There's a lot of submission in discipleship, and I'm not talking about ungodly submission. You know, there are some people you don't need to submit to some pastors. I'm just
going
to say, they're on a power trip.
Yeah.
You know, that's not. Find somebody who is. going to disciple you with tears in their eyes. When you sin, they're praying for you. You know, somebody that's going to come alongside of you and encourage you. And, yes, it is rooted in that word discipline.
Yeah.
I don't like discipline.
That's a dirty word. I don't like that word.
But you're going to grow.
Yes.
You're going to grow and become like Christ. So that's good.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
No, that's good stuff.
We just talked about everything we said we weren't.
We bounced around, but we got another 5 minutes.
Okay.
You know, what are some other things that are on your heart that, you know, it's, as we go through this week, Holy Week, you know, one of the things that pops into my mind is just the opportunity to grow in a week like this.
Yeah.
Regardless of where anybody is in their Christian walk, their level of spiritual maturity, there's always greater levels of intimacy, greater levels of understanding.
Yeah.
But I think that's something to think about, too, as you go through a week like this.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, Holy Spirit, search my heart, know my thoughts.
Oh, man.
You know, where can I grow? I loved when we did communion yesterday.
Yeah.
We took that time to search ourselves and let the Holy Spirit search us. And, you know, what needs to be uprooted? I know there's still plenty of things that could be uprooted for me. So I'm like,
uprooted, you know? Same, yeah. And it's very biblical about, you know, to analyze yourself before you take communion.
Yeah.
Almost 2024? So 23 years ago, the Lord brought this to my remembrance last night before I was going to bed. 23 years ago, I first started going to Abundant Life Church. I was saved. I was a Christian. I loved the Lord, but it didn't look like it. It wasn't reflected in my lifestyle.
Yeah.
and you know, I'd gotten arrested. And anyway, the Lord was like, go to Abundant Life Church. So I went. And I was really new to the church thing. I didn't understand church. I didn't understand a lot of what was in the Bible.
Yeah. That was back when Pastor Jerry was singing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was back when Pastor Jerry was singing. The first service I went into, he had a headset on and was singing God of Wonders.
Yeah.
I still felt the presence of the Lord.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But I remember I lived in this little apartment, and I was battling, man. I was struggling. I was trying to come out of alcoholism, drug addiction. And it was Holy Week, and I remember laying on this. I remember laying on this old junky couch. You know, when you're broke, you got no money, and you're young, and just reading through, kind of towards the end of John about Holy Week, about the crucifixion, and just not really understanding it. You know, like, I'll just be honest. Like, I mean, but I was reading it, and I was making an attempt, and I was like, I'm going to read through this, because this is where we're at.
Yeah.
And there was significance, and there was meaning, but I still didn't get it all.
Yeah.
But as I went to church, as I was discipled, as I was subjected to the Word more and more, then the understanding began to come, you know?
Yeah.
And so I would say, you know, maybe you're a brand new Christian, or maybe you've been a Christian for a while, and you're like, well, I just don't get all this. You know, I don't understand it. And I open the Bible and I read it, and it just doesn't really speak to me.
Yeah.
That's why discipleship is important. It's important to go. And you have YouTube nowadays. My goodness, man. You can, you know, back in the day, we used to have VHS tapes that we'd have to borrow from each other, or cassette tapes of good preaching. But now you can go on and you can learn about what the crucifixion means.
Yes.
All those things. So just
absolutely
plug in somewhere, please, this week.
For sure. And I want to make sure people understand, too, that, you know, discipleship, you know, the Holy Spirit knows how to meet you where you're at.
Man, yeah, absolutely.
He's a perfect gentleman. So I don't want people to feel like discipleship is entering boot camp either.
No.
It's a beautiful, amazing thing where you do grow, you do become more disciplined, but it's in such an amazing, loving way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You don't have the drill sergeant from what's that military movie?
Major Payne?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, you don't have that.
Damon Wayans or somebody?
Damon Wayans, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah,
it is. I think we're out of time.
All right, we're out of time, man. We're rolling.
Well, I appreciate you, man. Thanks for joining us. Once again, my name is Dr. Brad Shapiro with Ultimate Health. Appreciate you guys joining us. Hope everybody has a great week.
Yes.
And make sure you join us next week. But, you know, enjoy Holy Week. And Holy Spirit, I just pray that you'll search everybody's heart, including mine. Search our thoughts. Allow us to grow deeper in our understanding and appreciation of what Jesus did on the cross. And we just pray these things over everybody listening. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.